Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And back after his exile, for good reasons, is Joe Crazy Rider.
I don't know if it's good reasons. I mean, it's not my fault that Tim Hortons sucks and that, you know, cheese pizza is the most boring shit on the planet.
You want to get banned again?
I mean, you got to look at it this way.
You want to get banned again? You know, Reginald's been emailing me every hour on the hour.
We're in New York and ordered a cheese pizza. They would probably throw you off the island. If you were in Chicago and ordered a cheese pizza, they'd just shoot you. You know, I can understand if you're going to a place, you're like, hey, this might be a good place to go more than once. But if you're traveling through town and you see a pizza place and you say, hey, you ask, what's the specialty of the place? Not, I want a cheese pizza.
You and Adam will have to fight over that.
And on top of all that, I went out and got us a new sponsor.
You did?
Yep. Go ahead. Play the MP3 I sent you.
We already have a new sponsor. So that's two new sponsors already this year. So here we go.
Batman. You know DC Comics' Caped Crusader stars in his own highly acclaimed animated series that appears on Fox Daily. Now, DC Comics brings the same action and excitement to comic book form in Batman Adventures. The new Batman Adventures and the original Batman are available now at Hot Comics West on France Avenue in Edina and Hot Comics East on White Bear Avenue in St. Paul. Now, DC Comics brings you an opportunity to own your very own limited edition animation serigraph cell. Just stop by any participating comic store and register to win your very own cell. And while you're there, pick up DC Comics' latest issue of Batman Adventures, the comic that adapts the style and flair of the animated series itself. Look for Batman Adventures at Hot Comics West on France Avenue in Edina and Hot Comics East on White Bear Avenue in St. Paul.
Wait a minute. I don't think that shop exists anymore.
No, it doesn't. And neither does the thing. I just thought I'd play that for you because while my lovely wife was cleaning the various nooks and crannies of the Rider compound, she ran across a tape of the
a cassette tape,
an old-fashioned cassette tape, if you can believe that, and it's actually
have something that can play it.
An ad for DC Comics, obviously for Hot Comics East and West, as they were called at the time, and this was played December 1993 on 93X, which is our what would you call it? Hard rock station.
Yeah, they were the hard rock station at the time.
Yeah, still are. They're more cutting edge, not like album rock or alternative rock. So we kind of hit the big times. And I brought that up because, you know, we were talking 2 weeks ago before, you know, you decided to, you know, not, you know, take open auditions for my replacement here.
Oh, right? No. Wasn't an open audition.
Oh, yes, it was.
You got to remember, I've always got a plan.
You do not.
Yes, you've never talked to my son. My son was, I forget, it was like 3-4 years ago, and he was working on his car, and he said, and, you know, after I get the car fixed, I'm going to do this, and I said, well, you need to have a backup plan in case, you know, these things don't work. And he said, Dad, I'm your son. You've taught me well. I know that your backup plans have backup plans to their backup plans. I said, wow, you actually have been listening to me for 25 years. There's always a backup plan, Joe. Just
then
so
what happened with the gallbladder last year? What kind of plan was that?
Did I get fired from either job?
All I know is I had to go cross country to give you a ride home.
Well, if that wouldn't have worked, I
road trip.
I would have called an Uber.
And you didn't even keep the gallbladder. That was the sad part.
They didn't
I don't
let
think
me.
That's fair.
I asked.
I don't think that's fair. They get to carve you up, take a vital organ out of yourself, and you don't even get to keep it.
They said I was quite entertaining when I was under the gas.
I want to know what they did with it. Do we have to worry that there's going to be a series of gallbladderless clones of Strode running about? This is serious shit, people.
You've been reading way too much of the Clone Conspiracy.
Oh, it's a good book, though.
But that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about the Batman.
Yeah, actually, it wasn't even Batman. I just wanted to bring up something that people probably don't think about, because one of the themes we've talked about in the various parts of our show, and I might as well introduce it, because this is a comeback of a segment that we rarely use now. Yes, this here is going to be an old-fashioned Tales from the Shop.
Ooh.
I know, or of the shop. I forget. You know me.
Tales from the Shop.
Of the shop, tales of the shop.
From,
shops could talk.
From.
But.
Reginald keeps emailing wanting your job, so you better
be. He doesn't even know how to email. Don't lie. He's just writing parcel posts. Anyways.
Wish somebody said
what started me thinking about this 93X, I don't even remember the what brought this commercial about. It was obviously used during DC's co-op program, which. We talked about, but one of the things we talked about a couple of weeks ago is things you can do to help your comic store. And, you know, this was mostly just go out, figure out a decent graphic novel, pick it up. But one of the things you don't think about when you decide to open a comic book store or even any business is the fact that people are going to be on you like Oprah on a baked ham. There I said it, because they're going to want your money as much as you want your customers' money. Yes, I'm talking about solicitations at the shop. And obviously some of them are ad things. I think about some of the ads that we did at the shop. Remember we did the Angelo's placemat. I don't know if you remember seeing that one, Corey.
Yep.
Angelo's was the pizza place we used to run to after comic day. And somebody came in, and I always wanted to do it. I always like it when you go to a restaurant and they have the placemats, and you see all the different businesses on there, or even, you know, back of a church bulletin or things like that. And somebody came in, and it was specifically for Angelo's, so I forget what it was, like $25 a month or something, and you get a placement for the ad. No idea if it ever resulted in any sales, but it was kind of cool. Another guy who come in was somebody, we used to have this thing called Value Flyer. I don't even know if it's a thing anymore. You used to get this blue envelope in the mail, and inside it were a bunch of coupons for various businesses within your geographical area. And the problem we had with Hot Comics was that it was right in the middle of like five different areas. And this particular program was designed, the more you use it, the more your results would get. But you paid per area that you sent it out. And I pointed out to this guy, I said, you know, I'm in the middle of five areas. I'm not going to drop $5,000 on something just to try it. So we tried it for one thing. DC co-opted part of it, about 75%, because it was basically using one of their ads. And then on the bottom, I had a thing where you get 10% off any DC Comics and then free DC comic product. And that's what DC objected to, because they didn't sell the product. They were licensing the product. And what I gave away were, if you remember those, was it Skybox did a DC Comics trading card? It was a vast set covering everything, pre-crisis, post-crisis, things like that. Really fun to look out for if you're an old DC guy. I remember I bought a bunch of these from my old partner, Pat. And so if someone came in, you know, I gave him a couple of these packs. That was the free product. I think out of the 12, I forget what the number was. It was like 1,500 or 2,000 or 10,000 or whatever. I got like four back. Mods in the neighborhood that came in to get product for Christmas. So that one's off the list. Another one that we did when we got involved with one of the local federations, I'm trying to think of when that was. It was about the time when Hogan went bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because you had the ad, which of these two heroes has gone evil?
And at the time, I think it was Incredible Hulk who was evil, and, of course, the regular... I can't remember what was going on in either one of those, but Hulk Hogan had just done NWO, and then same thing was going on in the one before that was the top 10 similarities between comic books and pro wrestling. And we go, number one, both have impossibly muscled men in colorful costumes. Number two, both have fights that don't resolve. Number three, both have good guys versus bad guys. Number four, in both, the real action is in the smaller leagues, not in the majors. Number five, both are misunderstood by the general public, i.e. comic books are for kids, wrestling is fake. Number six, both have miserable Saturday morning comic adaptations, i.e. Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling Super Friends. Number seven.
Oh, and that Iron Man cartoon. Oh, Iron Man with the mullet and
number
the poor
seven,
mustache.
Both have rotten movies made from them, i.e. Body Slam, Mad Bull, Howard the Duck, Barb Wire.
Hey. You're right. Howard the Duck was terrible.
Number eight, in both, the guys can't get their wives, girlfriends, women interested.
Number
Not nine,
anymore.
Nope. Number nine, in both, the Ultimate Warrior is a big star, or you're number one now on sale.
Well, no,
hey,
he wasn't.
It was on sale.
It was on sale.
And he was a big star.
No.
Not then. Well, yeah, he was.
Let's remember, there are a few books that point to his matches with Hogan, the rematches with Hogan, as where WCW started to lose viewers.
Anyways, number 10 is where,
Hogan would
solid,
look in the mirror and see the Warrior.
Inexpensive entertainment, which I don't know if that's true anymore. I think WWE is, because for $10 a month you can get the network. Well, same thing with Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah.
So again, a couple of things got involved with the local federation, and I can't even remember, I don't even have which federation it was, but they kind of, again, it didn't really bring
probably
in.
Probably Steel Domain.
Yeah.
Because it was the one that Eddie Sharkey was with.
No, not this one.
Oh, it was a different one?
It could have been. There were actually
too
two
bad
going
Butch isn't around.
And I'd have to dig up, I have the program somewhere in my vast accumulation. I'll dig them up sometime and we'll figure out what it was. The other ads that I would always get solicitation for, and I think Brian, the previous owner for this one, is I'd get calls from the State Trooper Federation or the Police Federation. And what these guys did is they said, well, we take donations and we put your ad in a magazine and the magazine goes towards the troopers. Well, as my dad pointed out, as soon as he saw the ad, he said, no, this is basically these guys are out for themselves. They don't give any money, if any, to the state troopers, to the firefighters, to the police, whatever. And, of course, these guys would call almost every month because every month they had a new program and new books. And, you know, Brian, being a law and order type of guy, he was all over that. And me, I was less enthusiastic. And they're like, well, you know, a lot of our guys come into your shop. And I'm like,
no, they don't.
Whatever. No, they don't. I think I count on my hand maybe three guys who at least, you know, I knew were police or worked as deputies. And, you know, you always got people coming in looking for donations and stuff, which for the most part was cool because that's part of the community involvement. You know, you want to get involved and things like that. Another group that comes in, of course, people bringing in their comic collection, and that's not really anything that, you know, you want that. But, you know, usually 9 times out of 10, they're bringing in just the crap they don't want, you know.
That you've already got stacks of.
Exactly.
That was the one. Somebody came in, they brought, I've got all this, and I started looking through it, and Joe was like, Corey, is that any good? And I said, he's got the Death Superman run. He's got the X-Men from the last 2 years. He's got 2099 books. And you just said, yeah, I've got enough of those that I'll never sell them all. I'll buy them by the pound.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think God, who did we get that from? Was that James Hibbs?
Yeah, that was Brian Hibbs.
Yeah, buy him by the pound. But some of the more unique solicitations that came through the shop, and I don't know if you, you probably remember this, Corey. Do you remember walking in the shop one day and seeing a gigantic gumball machine?
Yes.
Yep, that one even made Groover shake his head. He's kind of like, why did you do that? I said, well, you know, guys come in. They said they'll split the proceeds with us. And unfortunately, I think out of the $2 in sales, I had to refund like $2.75 because the machine kept jamming up.
My son worked for his grandfather on his mother's side. And he owns machines like that all through Illinois into Iowa and stuff. And his job was to go around and replenish. And he did that for, I don't know, maybe a year or so. But he taught me about the claw machines. You know how you think the claw machine, oh, I almost got it if I was just more skilled. No.
Mm-hmm.
They set it, and it gives away a prize every so many quarters.
Yeah.
And they also can set it so that it's not how accurate the joystick is, it's how accurate it is when it stops. They can set it for like a tenth of a second delay, a 2/10 of a second delay, a whole second delay for when you stop turning it from when the claw starts moving. So, yeah, they're scam machines.
Gumball machine wasn't, but when the guys came in, I told them, you know, we tried it. It just didn't work. I felt bad. You know, just a couple old guys trying to, you know, make a living off it. It just didn't work for what I needed to. One of the other solicitations I got that was really weird, there seemed to be a program, and I have no idea if these guys still do it, but it's like you go to this school and you get their product and you just go and try selling their stuff. And usually when these guys came in, I would tell them, well, you know, I'm not really looking to buy anything unless you got something related to comic books, which usually none of them don't. I do remember one guy bought a gold-plated, wasn't really gold, but, you know, it looked gold.
God!
One of the cuticle sets or whatever, because I thought, you know, that's kind of cool for $5. And it was always like $5 or $10, or, you know, dirtly cheap. And, of course, you went to the dollar store and you could find the same shit for $1. But the weird one, some guy came in and he was selling this gold artwork. And what he wanted to do is let it stay in the shop, and then he would come back in a couple days and I would take orders for it. And I was like, well, I don't think this is really going to do much. But he came in, dropped them off on Monday, picked them up on Tuesday, and I said, well, you know, my crowd comes in on Wednesday, but that's all they did. I don't understand what the appeal of this program was. You know, anywhere, cute little art piece. I mean, the type of thing you'd probably find and just put on the wall somewhere and then years later give to some charity store or something. You know, kind of like the one that Dana and I will be running at the NSP Comic Con 2017, May 20th and 21st at the Minnesota State Fair Grandstand. Advance tickets on sale now, www.mcbacomiccons.com. And, of course, because all the proceeds go to the charities the MCBA will be working with, it's 100% tax deductible. So as you're doing your spring cleaning like my wife did, you know, and found that tape that's kind of got me off and rolling with this whole podcast, just give me an email or contact me through their website, and we will figure out a way to get those donations to us. Really, this year we're looking for toys, graphic novels, comics. If you don't want it, if you can't sell it on eBay's, just we'll take it and take a tax deduction on it. So we did get guys coming in occasionally doing political things. So the one thing I remember is the one guy, I think at the time my rep was Bruce Vento, if I recall. And he was like one of the lifers. I mean, he was there when I was a kid. If he hadn't passed away, he'd probably still be there. You know, because we're in as a solid Democratic area. So whoever was running against this guy was probably just doing it because they didn't want him to run unopposed or something. But I remember seeing these guys come in and shaking their hand. But it was always, hey, I'm running for Congress. Vote for me. I'm out of here. You know. One of the more interesting ones that came in, there was a girl came in, and she was going for, like, Miss Wiper Avenue. Every year there was a business association, which, again, they would visit, but I never joined. They'd have a parade, and apparently in conjunction with the carnival that was, or county fair that was down the road, they would have a Miss White Bear Arcade Association, whatever. So she came in, and, you know, for $150, she was trying to raise $1,000 to do it. And I thought, well, what the heck, you know, my name gets on this, I get mentioned as one of her sponsors, whatever, whatever. So I did it, and whether it was a con or not, you know, I didn't make the check out to her. I made it out to whatever organization. Unfortunately, about a month later, the check came back because either the girl didn't raise enough money to do it or she just didn't want to do it or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, you try to get your name out there. I did have a guy come by, and for $3 a month, he would be my window washer, which was fine because Lord knows I wasn't doing it. And he'd do the inside, the outside. When we got the big store, he'd only do the outside because usually I had something against the inside window so he couldn't get to it. And I also had a guy come by.
Wait a minute. You know what window washing is, you liar?
See, that's why she didn't hear that I paid someone $3 a month to do it. That's how I do it here, too, but we'll keep that little secret between us. I did have a firm come in, and they replaced the mats at the front of the store. I thought I could either pay $50 and get ones myself, and then I'd have to clean them and launder them, or just pay these guys $12 a month to do it. So, but the most interesting two that ever came into my store, the first one, you know, I talked about Pawn America. I don't know if that's a nation chain or a local chain, but it's, they were trying to set up in my, I guess, strip mall. They had a big 10,000 foot hole. I forget what was there that went under. Was it a furniture shop?
Yes.
And they just left, and it was just a big hole. So I had no idea what they were going to fill it with. So Pawn America was coming to town, and oh my gosh, basically just lit the entire neighborhood up. We don't want a pawn shop here. They're bad. They're going to bring business down, yada, yada, smack them, knack them. Never mind the fact there was a pawn shop already there, you know, granted down the block on the other side. But anyways, a lawyer came in from Pawn America and wanted to know what I thought about them. And I asked, I said, well, you guys don't carry collectibles, do you? And they do, but not the way I would. You know, you're not going to bring your comic collection to Pawn America and get
unless
any money.
You're stupid.
Well, you know, judging by some of the things I saw there when I, you know, bought all those DVDs a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I said, as long as you're not carrying the same thing I am, I got no objection to you. To me, you know, of all the pawn shops, you seem to be a more responsible corporate citizen. I mean, I never hear of a Pawn America, you know, getting caught up in some scheme or fencing a lot of stolen stuff. They got pretty rigid standards, or at least I thought so at the time. And she said, okay, well, that's fine. We just wanted to know. And plus the fact she was hotter than hell. Oh, man. Face it. You know, I may be misogynistic, but there's two things that go through your mind. First of all, well, three, actually. You're concentrating on what she's talking about. Second, I'm also like, wow, you're a lawyer. That's kind of cool. I mean, you could do anything that I'm not personally smart at. I'm genuinely impressed with. Whether it's a surgeon, a lawyer, or even someone who knows how to do die-cast cutting. So I was impressed with that. And then, of course, third, we're always thinking, wow, you're hot. it's true. Any guy who says otherwise is either spider baby or a liar. The last guy I'm going to talk about in terms of, you know, solicitation, and believe me, when you get a business, you're going to get them. We talked in the past about by phone. Anybody would call by phone. I'm looking for the owner. That would be Wally Carbo. Wally Carbo being an old AWA promoter who had passed away before my shop had opened. And, you know, eventually we started getting mail for Wally Carbo. And you could always tell the people that would call in more than once because they go, is Wally ever in? I said, he's the owner. He doesn't have to do anything he wants. The one guy who came in, we had, honest to God, a Fuller Brush salesman came in. I admit the first time he came in, I wasn't that impressed because he came in. I had just finished buying everything I needed. And I was like, well, I don't really know if I have anything. If you leave your catalog, I'll look through it. He goes, well, I usually don't come around again, but if you do, call. And the second time he came in when our old buddy Nick Post was there. And Nick went crazy. Oh, my God, a Fuller Brush salesman. Let me look at this. And he grabbed the catalog. He was looking through it. And he placed a huge order. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll take a second look in this catalog. Because the first time I went through, I didn't see anything. And I went through, and I saw a few things. One of them, Corey will laugh at now, but I think I bought a brush for my hair. Back then, I actually had hair.
Well, we need to explain a little about Nick and salespeople.
Oh.
Nick was a great salesman, but Nick also was the easiest touch in the world. We talked about how one of the years on the for the charity table, we had like a stack. I'm not talking one or two. I'm talking a stack of they're made in Germany. ShamWow.
ShamWow. Yeah.
We had a stack of ShamWows. You know why? Nick was watching TV one day, watched the ShamWow ad, and ordered a shit ton of them. He had slap chops. He had anything that was sold in an infomercial. Nick had a shit ton of them. And who was the guy? Yeah. Billy Mays was the guy who did the ads.
Yes.
Nick had hired Billy Mays to come up to do ads for The Source and the convention 2 months before he passed away. So Nick had hired Billy Mays to come, and then at the convention, he was like, man, we flushed some money down the drain, Corey. Well, what do you mean? I hired Billy Mays to do some ads. Well, Billy Mays is dead. He wasn't dead when I hired him.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, Nick loved this Fuller Brush guy. I mean, and every year, like clockwork, the Fuller Brush guy would come into the store, and he'd sit down, I'd look at stuff, I'd usually order a couple things. And then one year, he didn't come in. And I don't know if he passed away. And, you know.
Maybe Fuller Brush passed away.
It could be. A couple years later, I sold the shop, and I never did see him again. So, not everybody, you know. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of get a little bit of that from Nick too, because I drove my wife nuts the other day. Hang on. Okay, she's not listening.
Oh God!
It was the same thing because there was some guy at the store selling or at the door selling this like wonderful product for cleaning carpets, and I was like, yeah, I could get some of that. We got a new carpet, we'll clean it. You know, $20 a bottle. If you buy now, I get two. I thought, hey, that's a pretty good deal. And then of course, what the hell did you do that for? I got carpet cleaner for this thing. It came with the carpet when we bought it. I don't fault people door-to-door salesmen. I mean, it's a tough job. So.
Now, remember the people who would show up and they'd have the box of crap and they'd all be wearing a suit?
Oh, that was like the guys in the beginning, the guy with the gold-plated cuticle set or the gold artwork or whatever.
Now, I know where they come from.
Where's that?
This is a tale of when Corey first moved here.
Ooh. When
I first moved here and I got a job at a video store, and then the owner's son flunked out of college, so she had to give him a job so that he could pay back his college loans, and I was the newest manager, so last in, first out. So here I am. I moved up here. The job I moved up here for, oh, we don't have it anymore. Oh, and by the way, you're going to be a dad soon. So I did every job that was in the paper. And Joe, do you remember the one ads that used to say rock and roll job?
Yes.
I called, sent my resume, and they said, you are just the kind of guy we want. You need to come to this hotel at this time, you know, for this. And, you know, I'm fresh out of college. I don't know anything. I'm like, sure, this sounds great. I show up, and I'm thinking, you know, it'll be a job interview. Nope. It's not a big hotel ballroom, but a hotel ballroom, and they've got drinks, and they've got, you know, snacks, and then you come in, and, you know, they wait until there are about 40, 50 people there, and then the door's shut, and there are big guys standing by the door. And one of the jokes I like to use is hired goons. Hired goons? Hired goons. The guys standing by the door were hired goons. These were big guys, and they stood there with their arms folded as the person up front did the sales pitch, how you could make a fortune, and, you know, here's your kit, and you're going to go to all these businesses who have shown interest in buying this stuff, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the jobs that I'd had for, I think, 2-3 hours before I moved here, was the people who call for window treatments. Where, you know, and when they interviewed me, they said, we have these people who've expressed interest. You're basically calling to close the sale. And when I showed up, they ripped a page out of the phone book and said, start calling. And 2.5 hours later, I'm like, I need to leave. I can't do this. Oh, no, you'll enjoy it. No, I won't. So this guy's starting to talk, and it sounds exactly the same. So I get up, and I head to the door. And the goon at that door says, you need to stay until the presentation is over. I said, no, I don't. I'm not going to take this job. I don't do sales. I'm not good at it. I don't like it. I really need to go. You need to stay until the presentation is over. Now, I'm 23, full of piss and vinegar, and I was a bit of a smartass, and I said, so I'm not allowed to leave. So is this kidnapping or extortion or both? Well, you're not allowed to leave. Well, then I guess that's kidnapping. Can I have your name, please? No. Well, then you're going to let me leave, aren't you? The guys who came they stayed. They stayed till the end of the seminar. Because what it was, they bought that box.
Mm-hmm.
And however much they could sell it for was their profit. And they were given a street, and they were told, walk up and down the street till you sell all this shit. Then you can come back, and we'll sell you another box, and you can walk up and down another street and sell the shit. So when they came in, I would just look and go, they stayed to the end.
Yeah. And, you know me, I love shit. I always looked, I could count on a handful maybe of things that I picked up. And the sad thing was is wherever that cuticle set went, I didn't go with me when I sold the shop. It either got stolen or lost or thrown out or something.
By the way, the Fuller Brush Company.
And it's always $5. It was always, yeah. They weren't terribly expensive. But then when you went to the dollar store, which, we passed by on the way to Angelo's, then you find out, oh, man, I got ripped.
In February of 2012, the Fuller Brush Company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They were bought by Victory Park Capital and CEO David Sabin, who bought the company, and the headquarters were moved from Great Bend, Kansas to Napa, California. So they do still exist. They have 4 stores. And you can go online and buy their stuff. So there cool. You go, Joe. You can buy yourself a Fuller Brush.
It was more fun when they used to come to the store.
Well, yeah.
So, I will mention, though one of my old...
Oh, my God. I went to their website. First thing you see, pretty and pink, quick, clean slippers. These are slippers you put on, and you walk around the house to clean your floors.
I should probably send that to Chris. She's always complaining that I'm shuffling my feet across the floor. I might as well do something while I'm doing it.
They sell essential oils, age-defying essential makeup. They do still have the brushes. And what else? Oh, and all sorts of kitchen things like muffin pans and knives and bowls, and so all sorts of that stuff. They are Stanley Home Products, Bath and Beauty, cookware, food prep, cleaning. The Fuller Brush people, they still exist.
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing when they come into the store. I always hated the phone calls, though, because you never, and this is before caller ID. When I got caller ID, I could kind of let some of these guys just go ahead and eat the answering machine. Because, you get credit card processors. I mean, now you want a credit card machine, you just go to Costco or Sam's Club and you pick one up. Back then, when Pat and I first started, you had to be in business a year and be blessed by a bank to accept credit cards. And because Pat worked at a bank, we were able to get in right away. But once you were in, then everybody was like, oh, well, we want you. And I think we started out, it was 3% of transaction. By the time I sold Hot Comics, you credit card guys coming, we'll do it for 10 cents a transaction and 0.5%. You know, so it just was going crazy. Or worse, you get like investment firms. You know, we want to know, invest some of your hard-earned money. I was like, dude, I'm a comic store. I don't have money to invest.
I have already invested. Look at the gold in these boxes.
I'm telling you, wait till, I'm so glad Wally Carbo hung up at my place. You know, after Brent closed his store, that was the thing Brent used to do, you know. Is the owner there? You know, yeah, Wally Carbo, he's not here. Let me take a message. Nobody would ever take a message either. That's how you could also tell you're being solicited. So.
Yes.
Either way. So, if you open up a business, just be remembering, people are going to want a piece of your ass.
Well, speaking of a piece of your ass, DC has kind of quietly announced something after Marvel announced something. Joe, now, you buy the physical comics still. Have you ever used any of the digital codes in a Marvel comic?
I think I did once just to try it. And in case you're wondering, I have yet to figure, got my Marvel Unlimited cleaned up. But the one email that I wanted to use as my primary account, apparently I have some bought tickets that I must have did. And the only ones I can remember, I think Avengers versus X-Men I outright bought off the website. They had there's a Spider-Man cartoon where he was a youth being trained by Tony Stark. I forget what the name of it was. But the cartoon, there was a interactive comic you could download for free. And then, of course, I did do the code on one comic. I looked at it like what that's going to be is in the future, if any of these comics be worth money, it'll be like the old...
like Psych Tattoos!
Or the... yes, this Image comic had the coupon for Image Zero removed, or the Marvel value stamp is missing, you know, that type of thing. So for the most part, I don't do a lot of it.
There were people who were selling their codes.
Yeah, I see that a lot on eBay. And it happens even with DVDs. I sell the code for this.
Yeah. But Marvel has changed their digital to where now instead of getting a copy of that comic as your digital thing, you get different comics, but every week it's the same one, and it may even be every month, so everybody gets Civil War number one this month, and another comic that the trade paperback's coming out of. And people were kind of howling online because they couldn't sell the codes anymore.
Aw, poor sweet babies.
And I can understand, you know, Marvel's books are $3.99, but you get this code so that you can have the digital copy. And, you know, while everybody's howling, I don't know anybody who bought the comic and then would put in the code so they could have the comic in their digital. You either have gone digital or not. You either use the Marvel Unlimited or not. Now DC is going to quietly announce in April that their monthly superhero books are going to go to $3.99. And the twice-monthly books are going to stay at $2.99. But they're raising their prices. What a shock.
It's nuts.
And they're doing what DC always does, which we'll talk about in a little bit. They're raising the price of the books that don't sell as well. So 15 titles will move from $2.99 to $3.99. But the ones that move to $3.99 will have a digital download code for that very issue. And to be honest, I don't think anyone will care.
Not really.
Let's see. So in April, you will find the codes in the following $3.99 titles. Batgirl, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, Batman Beyond, Batwoman, Blue Beetle, Cyborg, The Hellblazer, New Superman, Red Hood and the Outlaws, Super Sun, Supergirl, Superwoman, Teen Titans, Titans, Trinity, and All-Star Batman, which is a $4.99 book. Now, one of the things that DC did when I worked at Shinders, if a book would sell below a certain level, they would raise the price of it. And I understand where, okay, this book isn't selling as well, we want to keep printing it, but in order to do that, it needs to pull in a certain amount of profit So if we raise the price and the sales stay level, it'll pull in, you know, that extra profit. The problem is when they would raise the price, I would always, at Schindler's, you know, let's say it was Suicide Squad. It was a $1.25 book. And then sales dropped to a certain point, it went to a $1.50 book. Let's say I'm selling 10 every month. Mm-hmm. When the price would go up, it would go down to either 8 or 9. Because somebody would go, ah, it's not worth the extra quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we go, oh, comics only went up a quarter? But, you know, when boom. When the price would go up, people would drop. And looking across the line, what they're doing is these are the books that don't sell as well, so their price is going to go up by a dollar, going up 25% almost. Now, when Marvel raises prices, since Joe Quesada came in, they raise the prices on the books that sell better. And their reasoning is, well, if they're selling better, we need to have the higher priced talent on it, and in order to afford the higher priced talent, it needs to have higher price. That's why when Bendis was doing the Avengers was the one that went up in price, and everybody howled about it. And a lot of Marvel creators would talk about how, you know, the market really wants $3.99 books, and they could point
sure,
to
we do.
Well, they could point to the sales charts and go, you know, when we raised the price of the Avengers to $3.99, sales didn't change. Because people are going to buy the Avengers. What it meant was that they're not buying as many of the lower-tier books, in my opinion. The other thing was, Mike Deodato charges Marvel more than Joe Schmo. So,
not to insult Joe Schmo.
Not to insult Joe Schmo, but, you know, nobody's buying his stuff because of him. And that was the thing that killed Next Wave. You had Warren Ellis, and I forget who the artist was, but it was also a name artist. And they command pretty much Marvel's highest per-page rate. And the book was selling in the lower half of Marvel stuff. And after 12 issues, it was like, well, we can't afford to keep putting the book out because we're paying these guys as much as we're paying for books that are selling twice as much. So it's just not financially feasible to do that. Now, Joe, you're dropping out of floppies.
More or less.
When you hear about this, what's your first reaction as a buyer?
Well, it's hard to say because let me read you my DC list for January 2017. Let's see. Dark Knight number 8 and the collected edition. Future Quest 11. Fallen Rise of Captain Atom, which is a number 3 of a 6-parter. And if I can get a deal on it, I might look at the annuals because they're doing a crossover with Hanna-Barbera. For sure, I'm getting the Green Lantern and Space Ghost one. So for me, meh. Doesn't matter. Marvel's not much better. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 titles with one of them, again, Clone Conspiracy, Unworthy Thor miniseries. And then there's that Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer Supremes where I'm kind of, it's not as entertaining as the regular Doctor Strange. So, to me it's not really an issue because I'm kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like I said, I'm trying to get Marvel Unlimited going. If DC had a version of that, oh man, I'd be on it.
But they never will.
I know.
And I've gotten that straight from the horse's mouth. And by the horse's mouth, one of the creators who's been at DC since 1985.
Yep. And did they say why?
Yes, because of the royalties.
Ah.
If you work on a DC book, you get royalties, unless you specifically waive them after a certain period. That's why, remember when they had the Essentials for Suicide Squad, Captain Carrot, and Amethyst.
Yes.
And then they canceled them. And they didn't give an explanation. The reason was those books had issues published after the royalty agreement went into place. And the royalties would pay high enough that it would make the essentials unprofitable. So they actually went back, and Booster Gold was another one of those. They would go back to the creators and say, look, we'd like to put this out as an essential. We'll probably never put it out as a regular trade paperback because there's not that much demand. Would you take these lower royalties in order for us to do that? Some said yes, some said no. But for the digital to work, they would have to forego all royalties because at Marvel, creators don't get royalties when stuff is read on the Marvel Unlimited. They just don't. That's why Marvel can afford to do Marvel Unlimited, and DC never will be able to. That wasn't even an Ask the Strode, was it?
No, sometimes it just comes out.
Sometimes it just pops out. Maybe I should zip my fly.
No, no, no. That was entertaining and informative and topical, too. Yeah, three for three, baby.
Now, one of the things that I always hear from shop owners, not older shop owners like you, but newer shop owners, when creators say the market demands $3.99 books, shop owners will say the same thing too, because the ones who really crunch their numbers will point to the fact that they don't make a whole lot of, that a $3.99 book makes a lot more profit than a $2.99 book. And they need that profit. Now, when you were ordering books, did you think profit-wise, or did you think how many it would sell?
Well, it's kind of a both. I mean, I figured if it sold, it would be a profit thing. The economies were different as opposed to the hot comics versus crazy comics. With hot comics, I could afford to maybe buy the lesser known, you know, put one or two on the shelf because I sold, you know, 100 X-Men, 100 Spawn. With the smaller shop, it was easier to not put things on the shelf because I had no idea if anybody would pick it off the shelf. And as we've talked about in the past, a good 80% of my business were customer pre-order pull lists anyways. So I would just, I mean, that anything I put on the shelf technically was paid for already. So if I blew it out later, if I sold it later, so much the better. And of course, nowadays, I would have no idea how to do that because so there used to be, you know, maybe one or two variant issues you could order. So you'd have to decide, okay, sell 50 Wolverine? Do I want to get 100 and get that variant and put it on eBay? But now it's so much different because even if you got that variant, there'd be 500 of them on eBay, and some guy's probably selling it below its natural cost anyways. So, yeah, I don't envy the people now having to order this stuff. And I don't know if a lot of these books are incentive books. In other words, if you want to buy the 1 in 25, you have to buy this many. Or it's just, you know, well, yeah, you're going to pay more for it. So.
Now, another question I have is something that's so obscure that most comic fans don't remember it at all. And I actually have asked you about this before, and the first time I asked you, you didn't remember. But it does have to do with price increases. There was a time when Marvel jumped the price of the X-Men. And I forget what they jumped it to. But what they did, they said, okay, we're jumping the price on the X-Men books. And we're going to be putting them on better paper. But then 2 weeks later, we're going to be printing them at the regular price on the regular paper that we used to. Do you remember that at all?
All I remember is you ordering the regular paper, and you were probably the only people that did.
Yep.
Most people did not.
Yep. Most people, oh, I want it now. Well, it's going to be like, I don't know, it was either 50 or 75 cents more, and they were like, I don't care, I want it now.
I'd be curious, too, if those were not rarer copies and might have a bigger collectability in the market.
They're rarer, but when I look at the price guides, they're not broken out.
Okay, so
which
probably
annoys
no difference.
Me, because you know that they're going to be much rarer, especially that was a time when sales on comics were dropping. Because those late 90s Spider-Man, those are starting to really move up fast because there weren't a lot of them bought. And, you know, a lot of that Marvel stuff from the late 90s no one cares about, but the stuff they do care about, you know, the X-Men, the Avengers, things like that, you're starting to see price movement because people are realizing, hey, that was after the crash and there aren't a bunch of those sitting around in stores. It's like the whole Mark Waid on the Avengers. They're like, oh, this is the first time Mark Waid's been on the Avengers. No, it didn't. He was on the Avengers right before Brian Michael Bendis was on the Avengers. But I'm looking at the stuff that Marvel's doing with their digital, and I think part of it is because, well, you know, people aren't using these the way we intended it, so why are we giving away all this money?
It's your own fault, people.
Yeah. Because really, once the comic companies figure out what people are doing, they're going to want to monetize it, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for all the talk about how comics are owned by big companies, but they have their own budgets, and they have to meet those sales figures, or the people in charge are going to be brought into a board meeting and go, you were supposed to sell this many units and make this much profit last quarter. You didn't. Why not? You know, I've worked in corporations long enough to know if you miss your sales targets for a year, you won't be around. Ask Bob Harris.
If you can find him.
Oh, he's over at DC now.
Well, that explains a lot.
But he was out of comics for a long time because the X-Men movie came out, sales on the X-Men didn't go up, they'd spent a fortune on that TV Guide insert, and the story was unreadable. And he didn't have trade paperbacks in the stores. So he got brought in where are all the trade paperbacks? Oh, we sell monthly comics. Well, monthly comics don't sell in Barnes & Noble, and they don't sell in Borders, and they don't sell here. And you were told, be ready for the marketing on the movie. Well, we had these special comics. You had three special comics, and how well did they sell? How many of the 14 million who bought TV Guide did you convert into X-Men buyers? Bye.
Yeah.
And, you know, DC with the rebirth, you know, they're already, they pushed it as it's $2.99. Well, they're already going back on that. I would say by this time next year, all of DC's books will be $3.99 again.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
You know who's not raising their prices?
Wait a minute. Are you saying you're trying to monetize this here podcast?
Yes. We have another new sponsor, by the way, Joe.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, and you know this sponsor.
I do?
Yes. You'll be getting a book from this sponsor.
Woohoo!
That's right. Worldwide News is now available in book form.
Wait, will mine be autographed?
Yes.
To me personally?
Well, no.
Oh.
But it's autographed already.
Woohoo!
And if you want to get one, here's the details. Here, it's our sponsors.
That's right. The first volume of Worldwide News, the comic strip written by me, your charming and delightful Uncle Rat Bastard, and drawn by Dangerous Dan Moore, is available in book form. You can get it for just $10 by emailing Dan at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Do it. They'll all be autographed. Really, they will. Our other sponsor has been with us since day one, and that's DreamHost.com. You need a website, and if you do need a website, and let's face it, you do. Just go to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, and you get $20 off your first year. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose Network podcasts, you can. Just send us an email at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. Thanks.
Isn't that lovely?
That was.
Now, Joe, before
yes.
we go into the eBays, because one of the reasons you were exiled from the show was you had sold my house key on eBay. Did you get the house key back?
I did.
Okay, good.
We made about a dozen or so copies. I spread them amongst your various fans.
Oh,
and
God.
The original, though, will come back to you, so no worries.
Oh, God. It's bad enough that there's like two people out there who still have a house key to my house who see me as the enemy.
Well, don't worry. These other 47 don't see you as the enemy.
I'm going to have to move.
Well, it's a good thing you're in a mobile home.
And now the circus is shutting down, so I don't even have a place I can run away to. So, Joe, what's going on the eBays?
Well, let's start out right away by our favorite portion of the show, at least mine. Let's ask the Strode.
I'm not ready.
Well, get your thinking hat on.
All right, I'm ready.
Toss a few thinking grenades.
All right.
Corey, tell me about the Mighty Midget comics.
Mighty Midget?
Well, it's from the 40s, so, you know.
Sorry, I know the Mighty Magnor.
Yes. Well, tell us about that, and then we'll get into the midgets.
Mighty Magnor was a funny superhero book by the team who gave us Gru, Sergio Aragonés and Mark Evanier. It was through Malibu. I don't know how many issues it lasted, but not very many because it didn't do very well. That's a weird thing. When I'm looking at the sales of Gru, Gru's only selling like 9,000 copies. Come on, people! Gru is a national treasure just like me. You need to go out. You need to buy Gru. I don't know if you're ever going to be able to find Mighty Magnor comics, and I really don't know if they've ever been reprinted in a trade paperback.
I don't think they have.
Which is weird because Hollywood Superstars has been reprinted in a trade paperback, and Mark Evanier told me I'm one of the five people who's ever told him he's read that book. And until a certain book came out in the early 90s, Evanier said that they had the distinction of being the lowest-selling thing Marvel had ever published. Joe, what was the lowest-selling thing that Marvel ever published?
Oh, I can't think of it.
I've actually brought it up on the show here before. It was a square-bound book, Street Poet Ray.
Oh, I remember that, unfortunately.
I remember when it came out and everybody, I picked it up and it's like, the hell is this?
By the way, if you want the Mighty Magnor, it's six issues. There was a special cover, a pop-up cover for number one, because, you know, of course, that was a gimmicky thing.
Yeah,
they all
run
about a buck a piece.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the Mighty Midget.
Around 1942, 1943, you would get these comics. They sold 2 for 5 cents. They're usually black and white and red. Ran about 36 pages, and they had it was Samuel E. Lowe and Company published it, and they had guys like Bullet Man, Captain Marvel, Spy Smasher.
So they were repurposing the Fawcett stuff.
Yep. Now, the most interesting ones were the Captain Marvel 11 and Captain Marvel Jr. 11, because you can get two versions, the regular version that sold for 2 for 5 cents, but then on the back of certain comic, with Captain Marvel Jr. was Captain Marvel number 21, and with Captain Marvel 11, it was Captain Marvel 22. They had this comic glued to the back.
Oh, wow.
Now, these things only run, they're like about 5 inches by maybe three and a quarter. Should take a quick look. Yeah, about 3 3/4 inches. So they're very small.
Small.
Consequently,
small.
The ones that were glued, you will never find in mint shape because you had to tear them off the cover. A couple cons back, I actually ran across one of these, and I picked it up because I had no idea what the hell it was. It just said Captain Marvel Jr. It's in very poor shape. It's brittle as all hell. The cover and the back are removed, but it's still complete. And you flip it over, and you can actually see where the blob of glue was that glued it to the comic. So I imagine there's a lot of Captain Marvel Adventure 11s out there without this little thing on it that are worth less, whereas if you could find one with it, it would probably be worth a lot more. And even in good shape, if you have one that's been glued, it's $350. But there's no listing for mint because they just don't exist. By the act of tearing it off your comic, you made it so it wasn't mint anymore. So go check it out. Mighty Midget Comics, and of course the one I just mentioned, I put there on the eBays because I'm an eBay type of guy. But no, we're not done yet. We got more Ask the Strode comics.
Uh-oh.
Questions, comments, concerns. And Corey, I want you to go back to your days in classic yore when you used to pick up Big Boy comics free at the latest Big Boy store near you.
They didn't have Big Boy where I grew up.
Well, that's too bad, because they should have. Because did you know Steve Ditko once drew an issue of Big Boy?
Yes.
Yep, number 470. Did you know the very first issue of Big Boy was published in 56, written by?
That was probably written by Stan Lee, because I think they had the contract at the beginning. Didn't Time Lee Atlas have the contract at the beginning?
You're correct. Stan Lee did it, and it was drawn by Bill Everett. And if you can find the first issue of Big Boy, it's a little over $500. Let's see. Don DiCarlo drew some in the 60s, and of course he was the co-creator of Sabrina the Teenage Witch and creator of Josie and the Pussycats.
Drew tons of Archie comics.
Gertie the Dinosaur. You remember who Gertie the Dinosaur is, don't you, Corey?
Wasn't that the one created by Winsor McKay?
Yep, first cartoon character ever appeared in Big Boy issue 473. Let's see, Dick Sprang, a beloved Batman artist, he did issue 472. And issue 477, and guest starred over 50 tunes, including Rugrats and Beetle Bailey. So there has been quite a bit of history there in them Big Boy comic books.
I have never seen a Big Boy restaurant, by the way.
We had one in town. It used to be on the corner of Lexington and Larpinder. I think there's a Keys restaurant there. And the reason I remember it, because as a kid, I'd go in and I'd want a Big Boy comic. Well, by the time that happened, they were disappearing. But somebody did find some. They had slipped in between a couple cracks. And they weren't in mint shape, but I don't recall if they gave them to me or not, but I did get them. So
they didn't give them to you, but you got them.
I got them. So what else? I didn't, you know, he removed two of them. I took a third one. So go hunt out those Big Boys. Yeah, not a bad day on the eBays, but getting a lot of things up. I'm also proving to everybody that if you put something at the correct price, you more than likely will sell it. I put up 12 Carlton Romance comics around the 60s and 70s. They were in good shape, only about $3 or so, but I put 12 up and they sold right away.
All right, Joe, here's an Ask the Joe.
Uh-oh.
Why won't I buy Carlton Romance comics in the 60s?
Because they suck? I mean, no, why?
That's true, but why do they suck?
I don't know. I never read these. I just sold them.
They were put out. The art was mostly done by Vince Coletta's studio.
Interesting.
Vince, the great eraser, Coletta.
That could be why they almost all look alike. Yep. Although, if you ever do want to impress your girlfriend, read them out loud, because there's some great pickup lines in that stuff.
So, is that how you got your wife?
No. I had to do it the more traditional way.
By quoting from MASH.
Yes. Believe me, there were times when she'd smack me a good one because she'd go, "That's a line from MASH. I thought you were being original when you said that." The other thing I sold is I had a bunch of coverless 100-pager giant size.
Coverless!
Yeah, just put them all together in a batch and just said, "Hey, this is good reading. And if you price it right, it's sold." I've spent all day today putting stuff on eBay, and if you're curious as to what, go check it out. Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. And if you see something you like, jot me a quick note, make an offer. Definitely let me know you're a listener of this here podcast, because I'll grab something out of the vast accumulation of crap and just include it free, such as one of these. One of these keys I have. We're going to have a key party in Casper.
God. I hope Reginald's available next week.
Oh, you know he is. He's probably he's judging by his last critique of us, he's probably making notes even as we speak. Like, who's got the hand up his ass?
I have a question about these little mini comics and stuff. I know that in the Dark Knight 3 they're doing them.
Yes.
Joe, have you ever bought any comic that has like a mini comic inside it?
That's a good question. Outside of Dark Knight, oh, you know, I know I have. I'd have to look and figure out which ones they were.
Because I have, and it was almost, not to exaggerate or anything, changed my life.
Uh-oh, let's hear it.
Mad Magazine, they had the magazine, and then they would have their bigger reprint magazines that came out, I think it was quarterly, because Mad came out 8 times a year, and then they would have, you know, the Worst of Mad, or whatever they were calling their Mad Giant Size magazines at the time. In the mid-70s, when I was buying them, they would have inserts called the Nostalgic Mad, which reprinted the Mad comic book. And it was, you know, classic tales from when Mad was a comic book. And I didn't know Mad was a comic book. I'm 12. I didn't know anything about comic book history. All I knew, Mad Magazine was magazine. And I'm reading these stories, and just, they're amazing, and they're so cool, and, oh, it's so much better than the regular Mad Magazine. What's up with this? And I found a book in the library about comics, and I just went through, and, oh, okay, Mad is a comic book, and it was published by this company called EC. Oh, okay. And then I found out, about a year or so later, that there was a company called East Coast Comics that had reprinted 12 EC comics in the early 70s. And I saved up my money, and I sent away, and I got my Tales from the Crypt, and I got my Shock Suspense stories, and my Weird Fantasy, and my Two-Fisted Tales. And that's how I became a fan of EC comics, just reading those inserts in The Worst of Mad for the Nostalgic Mad.
Cool.
And did you ever read those? Did you get the Mad, the magazines that would have those inserts?
I don't think I ever did. I was aware that Mad was a comic book, probably because I read about it whenever I became aware of the comic code. Somehow the history, I don't know if it was from the Overstreet Guide history or just, but I was aware of like the first 6 issues were in comic form before it became a magazine.
So now we've gotten to my favorite part of the show. No, not when we kick Joe off the show again and talk about pizza for a half hour. No, it's freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Well, the only real thing is you notice I wasn't able to get Solo Joe number 4 part 2 up in my timely manner. And
We're used to that.
Well, no, but you were used to the reason as I was, you know, about 2/3 through it, forgot to hit save and the computer froze and it all went bye-bye. Now I know some of the pain that is Corey's existence.
You also know now why I have set up so that things save all the time and anytime. I'm to the point where if I cut something out of an episode, I click save.
Well, and usually I do that, but it had been going so good. I hit this long part where there was like very few edits, and because usually I'll stop and when I re-edit and then I re-listen to it, make sure it sounds good, that I didn't cut out something, you know, to make it terrible. And I'm sorry, but that's okay. I'm off tomorrow, so hopefully I can get it all done and in Corey's grubby little hands in time for this here podcast to drop. Or maybe it'll drop before this one and do the magic of kayfabe. I just don't know. All I know is I want to get it up and get it going. And I told Corey I even have ideas for other solo Joes, which may come out in 2019.
To 2020. If no, they're still here.
Now you're being silly.
Well, yeah.
That's pretty much all I'm freaking on. I've had a pretty freak-free week. I'm telling you, this is not podcasting for a week. It's getting kind of catchy.
I don't think I could go a week without doing at least 2 or 3.
Yeah, and you couldn't do it with Reginald either.
No. And the listeners are not big fans of Reginald.
No.
I don't
and
know
I will
why.
Tell you this. If I'm ever in a pizza place with Adam, if he's buying the cheese pizza, I will eat it. I am that big of a man.
You're that big a guy.
I am. Well, eating enough cheese pizza, you will be, yeah.
Adam keeps saying he's going to interview me, so I don't know what the hell I'm going to talk about. Probably, you know, if the interview starts to go south, I'll just go, now let's talk about Jack Kirby, shall we? And or if he starts asking personal questions. Corey, tell me about this blah, 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 and this controversy over this. You know what another controversy is? When Jack Kirby testified against Joe Simon in the Captain America trial in 1968.
Bad blood.
Corey,
what are you freaking on?
Work.
Ugh.
Last weekend was supposed to be kind of a rough weekend to begin with. Because it's my weekend to work, and they're still very, very short on overnight people. So what the plan was, I would do the sleeping overnight Friday into Saturday and leave around 10 o'clock Saturday. Then come back to the sleeping overnight and then do my regular shift Sunday. So I come in at 10 p.m. on Saturday and leave around 3 on Sunday. And I'd be in the cottage I'm normally in, which, you know, once everybody's up, it's pretty sedate. But getting everybody up is hard. And I'm usually the one who's taking care of the meal or passing the medication. Well, one of the staff decided that they didn't want to show up for their shifts. And they decided not to call. And they were on for 3 shifts over the weekend. So Saturday, while I'm working and passing medication and everything, I get a call. Corey, tomorrow, can you work from 8 to 11? They didn't say whether it was a.m. or p.m. Can you work from 8 to 11? No. Why? Because I'm already working 8 to 11. No. We mean in the morning. I am working 8 to 11 tomorrow. Okay, how about the evening? I'm already working 8 to 11 tomorrow. I ended up only being home for about 9 hours all last weekend. I counted up. I made 6 meals for 15 people. Passed meds twice. I don't even want to think about how much urine I got all over me. Got hit in the head twice. Once I was...
Sorry that I had to mute it because I too many political jokes when you said urine.
But one of the clients who's autistic, and he likes tall men because he's a taller male, and he's, you know, he likes tall men, and I'm 6 foot tall. So I have to stand behind him to help him get dressed, or he's grabbing at me and putting his hands around my neck and pulling my hair and stuff, which is, you know, he just wants to interact and touch. So I'm behind him trying to get him dressed, and he's learned that if he throws his head back really fast and hard, he can hit me right in the head. So he did that twice. And the second time, I am not embarrassed to say, I kind of had to sit down. I don't think I got a concussion, but it was one of those where it's, I got to sit down for a minute because that really hurts. And again, slept at the group home all 3 nights. So Monday, you know, we've been hearing all week, oh, Monday, the weather's going to be terrible. Weather's going to be terrible. And all I can think is, boy, I hope the weather's really terrible because then I won't have to drive into work. I can work from home. Nope. Snow didn't hit us. The horrible storm that we'd been forecast for didn't hit us till
I will give
Monday
you
night. Okay, hello?
I will give you one thing, though. Holly was out cruising around Monday night.
Oh, God.
She decided her not boyfriend, yet boy that she seems to hang out a lot with. And, you know, we were kind of against it. And, you know, Chris drove home and it was okay, but as the night went on, it started to get freezing rain.
Oh, yeah.
I started texting her, get your ass home as fast as possible. Well, apparently after dropping her
not boyfriend,
can I just call it stupid boy who's a friend? And she went to take a left turn, and the car didn't go left. Fortunately, she ran into a snowbank. No damage, except for poor person who set up said snowbank. But I think finally, this is one of those moments where a young girl discovers that, you know, your parents aren't as full of shit as you think they are.
Yeah, I had to drive into work with ice all over the road, and there was one stoplight that I did, car just kept on going. Just kept on, because it was at the bottom of a hill, mm-hmm. and I'd been braking, and, you know, going 20 miles an hour, foot on the brake, still 20 miles an hour. Foot on the brake, still 20 miles an hour, just, well, right through.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to say, as bad as it was, it really wasn't, we got off light. Even today it was like 35, everything's melting and slushy. Oh, man, my friends out in Portland, Oregon, they got buried with snow, they just got buried with ice, middle of the country's buried with ice. I can't remember the last time we had a really bad ice storm. You know, I remember as a kid once, I was in, yeah, my brother, he was in eighth grade, so I'd have been in 10th, and we walked outside, and it was just one of those, it looked normal, but everything was coated with just the thinnest of ice. And we should have guessed, because there were like virtually no traffic sounds around us. Normally where we grew up, you could hear traffic because there was a busy street two over. We slid all the way down the frickin' hill, got to the bottom, and we're standing there waiting for the bus, and there's like no traffic anywhere. And then one of the neighbor's ladies went out and said, "Your mom just called, they canceled school, there's no bus coming." We spent a frickin' half hour trying to get our ass back up the hill. What we ended up doing is you couldn't step on the sidewalk because it was just sheet ice. I mean, just shoop, slide all the way down. So you'd one step on the snow, which again was icy as well, and then one on the sidewalk, and then quickly shuffle, and we made it to the top, and then we had to cross the street, and I made it. My brother didn't. He ended up sliding halfway down the block again, and then worked his way back up. And, you know, that was, I don't know, when the hell was I in high school? I don't know, another lifetime ago. But I haven't remembered just slick ice like that in a long time.
The one storm that sticks out in my mind, other than the Halloween blizzard, and it might have even been the same year, I honestly do not remember. It was raining. I was still working at the group home in Bloomington, so it had to be before 94, because you know, I was a single dad working two jobs. Anything up to, like, when my son could entertain himself is just a blur. But I remember coming into work, and it was just pouring rain. Just pouring rain. And it was one of those rainstorms where the streets couldn't drain fast enough. So at intersections, there would be standing water, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 inches. And I got into work. And, you know, the people were like, "Oh, what's it like out there?" And I said, "Oh, the rain is just terrible. It's just coming down so hard that the streets aren't draining." And I turned on the radio because I needed to listen to the radio before going to sleep at that group home to kind of calm down. And they talked about how do not go outside because tomorrow morning the low will be 10 below. Yes, we know it's raining now, but the low will be 10 below. And they started telling stories about how in Uptown, there was 1 to 2 feet of water in the intersections, and cars were, you know, just dying because the water was so deep that it killed the engine. And they called tow trucks, and tow trucks weren't available. And within 3-4 hours, the water had become ice. And they were having to use jackhammers to get the cars out of the ice.
That sounds familiar. I must not have been in town or just not traveling when that happened.
I just remember that, and it was like, oh, I got so lucky that I got to work before that shit happened.
Wow.
But, we really have been pretty lucky the last few years here in Minneapolis. Joe?
Yes.
Because we're Minnesotans, we could talk about weather all night, but instead...
That's true. Sorry, we didn't mean to bore you.
What are you geeking on?
Well, as I geek on my bag of 50-cent DVDs, I reached in and my wife and I watched the first one I pulled out, Collector's Edition Academy Award winner, Gosford Park. No idea what it was. Again, when I bought these things, I just, anything that had anybody in it that I recognized. This one had two things going for it. First, had Academy Award winner, and second of all, two big thumbs up from Ebert and Roper. So, and apparently, Robert Altman directed this.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know that movie.
Yeah, very cool. It's a murder mystery featuring a who's who of celebrated actors. A ton of fun to watch. I mean, I watched it in the beginning, did not know what the hell was going on, but as the story went going, it was just fascinating. So definitely look for this one if you've never seen it. I enjoyed it. Second one was one I'd seen before, and I was just happy to finally get in a DVD form. The Music Man. Oh, what? The what? The Music Man with Robert Preston.
Oh, that's the one about the monorail.
Yep, monorail. Monorail. None of that life, my Hindu friend. I don't know how long I've been subscribing to it, but I actually decided to start reading some of these entertainment weeklies. Of course, the covers kind of got me in. The first one, of course, I lucked out and got the one that had Gary Fisher on it. So it was a week that her and
George Michael.
Yeah, it was your choice of which one. And, of course, I get mine through the mail, so I just got her. And then the week after was The Defenders with Luke Cage, Daredevil, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones. And, of course, some spoilers in the article, which I wasn't aware of because I'm only, like, on episode 5 of Jessica Jones. So, anyways, I figured that, but I didn't realize what she did to the Purple Man. But now I do, and I'm not even done with it yet. So, I read them. I take my address off. I leave them at work. Recycling at its finest. We haven't talked about web strips in a while, but I did find one I'm enjoying the hell out of. The Devil's Panties by, I think it's Jeannie Breeden?
Yes.
And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because it's a couple's thing or it's whatever. It's just kind of funny. Like, I love this one where they're talking about Teletubbies. Now, of course, I suffered through Teletubbies thanks to my oldest daughter, so they were talking. Remember we used to watch the Teletubbies each morning? Yeah, that's how we'd relax our brains before work. And the one protagonist says, Teletubbies were for stoners, right? Oh, no, it was based on sound child development theory. All the Teletubbies represented different levels of language acquisition. Each character represents an age of development in personality and language comprehension. What did the baby and the sun represent? Oh, that's just some stoner bullshit. Just a fun thing. TheDevilsPanties.com. I linked to her on website or Facebook, so when a new one posts, I see it. You can go on, and just like any web strip, you can start from the beginning. You can go random. Tons of books available, so if you want to pick up from the very beginning, definitely one that I recommend. And I don't talk about it a lot because, I haven't talked about it ever. You know, my latest game online, Train Station, the game on rails. I like trains. So if you're playing it, send me a friend request or send me a game request, and I'll probably approve it. I don't send them out because most people get annoyed when you get them, so I just I figure if anybody's interested, come on in and let us know. And I'd also like to give a shout-out to a group of guys, and hopefully they're old guys who like old comics. It's a group that I found on Facebook, and it's a public group, and it's just a ton of fun because people talking about old comics, the comics they picked up, some of them are fun things on it. There's a few people on there. They let me plug our website, so hopefully if you're listening to this from going from that site, let me know. I'll send you something out of my vast accumulation of crap. It may even be something old. Well, you know it is if it's me anyways. So if you're an old guy who likes comics, and I think they'll approve women. I haven't asked. But check it out. It's a fun group. It's just fun to be with people who obviously enjoy comics. They enjoy talking about comics. And it's fun to see just somewhat of what the other people have and things like that. It's not a place to really solicit for selling or buying. They have a website you can go to for that, too, if and you want. So. Oddly enough, no comics. Just one of those comic-free weeks that I have occasionally. Although, like I said, I did have a pile I was going to put on eBay, and I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to read these first. Sometimes I read them. Corey, what are you geeking on?
I don't have a lot of comics either because I was at work most of the time. The first thing is New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access TV. Normally, you're waiting about 6 to 7 months for when a show airs in Japan to when it's shown here on Access TV. But with Wrestle Kingdom, they decided they were going to show it with the next week. And they actually started with the final match, which was Kenny Omega versus the Rainmaker for the New Japan World Championship. The one-hour episode was just that match. This was the best wrestling match I've seen in 5 years. It had everything you wanted. It had outside interference. It had shenanigans. It had good wrestling. It had tons of false finishes. It had been building for a year. And it was everything you want in pro wrestling. If you're a pro wrestling fan, you need to watch it. Period. Now, if you're not a pro wrestling fan, I don't know if you'd like it or not. But I know for me, it was so good that when I got to the end, normally I delete stuff off the TiVo. Nope, that stayed on the TiVo. I need to watch it again this weekend when I can actually, you know, when I'm not, oh my gosh, I hope this is over before I have to go to work. The second thing is, and I know that people get a little irritated when we talk political, but I swear to God that this is comic related. Last week, Donald Trump badmouthed John Lewis. John Lewis, who has his biography out as a 3-volume set called March in comics, and Joe and I have discussed it more than once. Trump badmouthed him on Friday. It was sold out on Amazon the next day. So, Donald Trump, start bashing other comic books so that they can sell out too, okay?
Yes.
Tell people that you hate The Vision. Tell people that you hate I Hate Fairyland. Tell people you hate Paper Girls and Saga. And let's get those comic sales up, man. I have a book that I've been reading called Men of War, and it reprints a DC war series that started in the mid-70s. And it's older artists team with younger writers. And it's some of the more obscure DC war characters. I don't know DC war comics that well, because when I was a kid, I didn't read war comics at all. And even now, I'll read a Sergeant Rock comic, and it just kind of doesn't do it for me. But Men of War are short stories. Some of the characters are continuing, some are not. And I'm actually really enjoying it because it's some of the, I've talked a little in the past, David Michelinie writes a lot of stuff. It's the new writers coming in. This was kind of how they broke into comics. And I have the DC Showcase, and it's one of those I'm reading a couple issues before I go to sleep at the group home. Really liking that. And then the last thing I am geeking on was actually one of our advertisers. How's that for a plug, Joe?
I like that.
Worldwide News, the first volume is now available. You can get it from Dan, who's been on the show a lot, lordshadowflame@gmail.com. It's $10 plus shipping and handling. I'm very proud of it. I looked through it, and I like the fact that it's the strip and then commentary underneath. We've added some other extras. When we do the second volume, there'll probably be even more extras. But this is the first book for this year, in a year that will see me publish 4 books. Worldwide News, and then After the Fall, the first book in the novel cast, All In, the second book in the novel cast, and Do the Job, the third book in the novel cast. By the end of the year, all 4 will be available. And hopefully by the end of the year, if we sell enough copies of Worldwide News, we'll be able to buy an ISBN number. We'll be able to go to Amazon and say, see, we've sold a bunch of copies. And Amazon will be selling it. So a lot of stuff that I started in motion in 2012. And I talked about on the podcast where there are going to be changes. I've got an idea of where I want to be in 5 years. And we're going to go there. We're getting there. You know, we've got the extra podcasts. More people are listening. I want to thank the listeners. Please keep telling everyone you know. Share the links. tell people. When we put it up on Facebook, hit that like button. Go out to iTunes, go to Stitcher, wherever you're listening to this, give us a good review. If you hate us, please don't give us a review. Just kind of say, well, why are you listening to the show if you hate it? God, why are you listening to the show if you hate it? If you hate something, you just leave it alone, okay?
Well, I don't know. It worked okay for Howard Stern all these years.
Yeah, but that was different. That was on. That was just over the air. So to celebrate this, I went out to the Amazons and looked at my wish list. I was going to buy something off my wish list. And no, I have not put my wish list out there. I don't want listeners buying stuff for me off the Amazon. You want to buy stuff? Buy from our sponsors. Buy from Joe on his eBay or buy the book. That would make me happy. But one of the things was I love the show The Untouchables. And when I put The Untouchables complete series out on Amazon, it was like $200 and some. I went out to the Amazon, I'm going to buy something off my wish list, and the day I went there, the complete series of The Untouchables, $44. That's how I celebrated my first book. I bought The Untouchables. So hopefully, before I die, I'll get to watch them all. Believe it or not,
don't
kids.
Don't you believe it.
Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
And now back to our regularly scheduled chaos. Hit my music! Funk is on a roll.
Done, bitches!